Another favorable image word. Use it. Deserve. Mr. Prospect, you deserve this. Mr. Prospect, you deserve the best. I was in Oklahoma City, and I was staying at Howard Johnson's. And we'd been field testing this word, and I never had it used on me until this day, and I didn't know it was used on me until afterwards, and I laughed about it. I sat down, there was a meeting at 1 o'clock, a management seminar, and it started at 1 o'clock, and about 12:30, I'd gotten into town, had to rush out, take a shower, and change my clothes, and I didn't want to eat lunch, so I was just going to have a cup of coffee. So I sat down at the counter, not at a table, and I said, I'd like a cup of black coffee, please. So one waitress brought it to me. Another waitress, about 55 years old, looked like my grandmother used to look when I was a kid, very kind, friendly, warm face. She came by, and she looked at me kind of in surprise, and she says, is that all you're having for lunch? And I said, yes, ma'am, it is. You see, I've got a meeting in your meeting room back here, and I'm kind of in a hurry. I'd like something more, but I just don't have time. And she says, well, you deserve more than that. You at least deserve a dish of ice cream. And I said to myself, if she thinks so, by golly, she's right. When you say somebody deserves something, you see, we're picked at so many times, we're told we've done so many things wrong, we'd like to deserve something. Once in a while, we'd like somebody to tell us. So when you say, you deserve the best, you deserve this, you deserve that. As a matter of fact, your wives, gentlemen, use that on you all the time. Sweetheart, you've been working so hard, you deserve to go out. Shall we go here or there Saturday night? Another word that is a favorable word, the word proven, P-R-O-V-E-N. Now be careful with this one. You can misuse it so it becomes a negative image word. If you say to a prospect, I'm going to prove something to you, he says mentally, okay, baby, prove it. So you use this third party. Here are the proven results Mr. Jones got. Here's what we have proven to ourselves. Here's what Mr. Jones proved to himself. Here are the proven results you can expect. He wants what other people have spent time, energy, and experience on proving to themselves, which will benefit him. So you use it, third-party reference only. Proven. This word, I think, is one of the tremendous ones. And if I asked you to use one or two of these words, the fourth positive word, I ask you to field test for at least 21 complete presentations, sprinkling it, salt and peppering it heavily through, along with the use of the prospect's name. The word discovery. Now, I guess it's because when the pioneers left the East Coast and moved west, they discovered new land. When they got to where the gold was, everybody wanted to discover gold. I remember watching the first moonwalk, and I'm sure most of you did too. It was a disappointment. They lost, I think it was, 67% of the audience on the second moonwalk. Nobody watched it live. They watched it on news, on replay. Someone said that. But there were fewer people watching the second one than was the first one. And yet the second one had more scientific discovery to it than the first one did. Why? Well, I didn't want to be in that spaceship, but I wanted to hitchhike on their discovery. I wanted to get in on it. When the people were moving west and somebody struck a glory hole, everybody then would stake claims all the way around it. They wanted to get in on the discovery. So in a casual way, you might fit into your presentation saying, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones down the street discovered that by having this, this is what happened. Now, it's third party, almost like overhearing somebody else's conversation. The word discover strikes an attention, image, favorable. They discovered it. Hot dog, I want in on it. It ain't going to cost me this much. The next word is love, and here's where I'm going to lose some of the men. I hope not. Now, I'm not talking about parental love. I'm not talking about love from spouse to spouse. I'm not talking about love toward grandparents. I'm talking about a catchphrase. You see, a woman uses the word love frequently. For example, you take your wife out to dinner to a new restaurant. The next day, if you could monitor her phone call, she'll be calling her friends and saying, John took me out to that new restaurant. You're going to love their menu. Or you're going to love the decor. Or we went here and you're going to love it. We went out to Disneyland. You're going to love it. They use it because they are emotionally free people. But men are not emotionally free. Now, they like to hear it, but they don't like to use it. Now, the reason I say we like to hear it, test this one out. It's tomorrow night. You walk home. You go into your house. And your wife, instead of the normal greeting, has freshly showered. has a nice dress on, has her favorite perfume on, and her hair fixed. And she runs towards you instead of walking. She greets you just as you shut the door behind you. You feel her arms grabbing you around the neck. She kisses you as though you two were still courting. When she breaks the kiss, you hear her say, "Sweetheart, I love you above all other men." At that moment, you stand 10 feet tall. The point is, gentlemen, you respond to the word love, you just don't like to use it. Men seem to think it's effeminate, that people will, you know, question whether you use the word love too much. But I would suggest to you fellas, if you want a free night out, or if you want your wife off your back, start using it toward her a little more in private conversation. But the key is, in your sales presentation, use it once, maybe twice, around the key interest statements that you think hit him the most. I'm saying man to man, you use it. You got a male prospect, you're a male salesman, say to him, "Mr. Johnson, you're going to love this feature." Now, of all the things he'll remember that one after you've left him. Use it once, maybe twice, maybe three times, but always have the highest, most beneficial, direct-to-him statement about your product or service. Let me give you a couple of the negative words, and I'm saving one positive word. I've given you 5 positive words, haven't I, so far, and I've given you 1 negative. I don't think I have to explain too much about some of these. One is cost. I have had enough things cost me already. You have too. Now, if a man buys your product or considers investing in it, and you believe, as I believe, about our product, the Zygmuntship Institute, the man is going to benefit a lot more than his investment in it. He can't help it. If he repeatedly hears this, repeatedly puts it into practice, he's going to get a greater return than his investment in the program. That's not a cost. It's an investment. But if he gets it and he doesn't get anything out of it, that's a cost. For example, you invest a dollar, you get a nickel back, plus the dollar, you got an investment. You spend a dollar, you get 95 cents back, that cost you a nickel. So the word cost implies you're paying more than what you're getting in return. I recommend you never use the word cost. The next one is pay. I don't want to pay anybody anything. I'm already paying enough. Come to my house and look at the bills on the 10th of the month. I don't want to pay anybody anything. I'll be happy to invest with them, but I don't want to pay anything anymore. Here's a word that you need to listen to from your prospect as well as not use it yourself. The word try, T-R-Y. It's a negative image word, if you look at it right. You see, if you invite somebody to go somewhere with you, and that person says, "Well, I don't know for sure, but I'll try to be there," forget him. He'll never show. You see, the word try implies, I don't want to offend you, but I don't want to go, and I'm not going to be there. So rather than offend you, I'm going to say, I'll try to be there. So don't say to your prospect, "I'll try to do it." Either say, "I'll do it," or "I won't." And listen to him. If he says, "I'll try to make a decision," forget it. Push him for one now. Because he's only cushioning the blow of saying no. That's what try says. It's a negative image word. Salesmen should never use it. Another one is contract. Now, this is an old one. People have been taught this for a long time. Even when I was a little kid, my dad used to say, "Don't sign a contract. Read the fine print." A word contract implies unilateral, not bilateral agreement. A contract is a slave thing. A contract means I'm obligated, but you don't have to do anything, baby. You got me. I'm hobbled. I'm a slave. I have to report. You have to do exactly. A bilateral contract, I submit, is an agreement. Two people to mutually benefit each other. And that's what every agreement is, including a real estate listing agreement. The broker agrees to do some things. The seller agrees to do some things. It's a mutually beneficial situation. That's not a contract. That's an agreement. But the word contract implies, if you say to this lister or potential lister, "Here's your firm commitment listing contract," that's going to create, possibly, a negative image in his mind. So cut it out of your dictionary. The last one, of course, is sign. Now, people have played with this one so many times. Now, sometimes with some groups, the word sign is great. If you're talking to a group of salesmen or a salesman, he understands the word sign. I would submit, though, he still reacts negatively if you ask him to sign. Now, there are other ways of saying it. Put your name here. Put your name right here. Put your name the way we spell it at the top of the agreement. Now, the old corny one is press hard. We have three copies, you know, all those old jazzy things. The point is, it isn't necessary to say sign anymore. Authorize it here. There are so many ways you can do it. The word sign possibly creates a formal backing away, especially when selling in a residence. When you're in a home anymore and you say sign, everybody gets the hair up on the back of their neck. Authorize it, okay it, put your name here. If you're interested in getting referrals, if you're interested in eliminating the consumer revolution, if you're interested in convincing this man that you're an honest salesman, you want to benefit him more investment return than what you earn or what your company earns out of the product, use this word. The word is guarantee. Now, you have to use it a special way. If you're selling life insurance, you can say, this article guarantees you, and that's true. The state in which you sell life insurance has an insurance commissioner. The federal government insists that insurance company that you represent back up that agreement. That policy must be handled the way those paragraphs say. So each one is guaranteed. I'm not suggesting you talk about the product or the service. I'm not suggesting that you say, this service is guaranteed money back. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the product at all. I'm talking about you. Here's the way I recommend you use it. At the close, just before you ask him to authorize the agreement and give you a check, you say to him, Mr. Prospect, there isn't much in life that people can guarantee anymore. Mechanical products, yes, we guarantee them service-wise, but mechanically there can be something wrong. Service, yes, we can guarantee that, but even there, human beings are involved, and as a result, something can happen. But there are two things I can guarantee you. Number one, you have this product, you take this service, and I guarantee you me. I guarantee you my honesty. I guarantee you my integrity. I guarantee you my purpose of having your interests uppermost in my mind at all times. You're not just a buyer, you become a client. And as long as you're a client and I'm alive, I will always have your interests uppermost in my mind. I guarantee you me. Number two, since you are now my client, I guarantee you every person in my office and in my company, my broker, my president, my dealer, my owner, every person in the service department, I guarantee you every person with whom I'm associated in my business or service. If we come up with an idea or a product or a service that has your interests at heart, I'm obligating myself to come back and tell you about it. I guarantee you me, and I guarantee you every person in my organization. Just put your name right here, please. Now, the last time you bought a car, if when you drove out of the dealership, today, if the salesman kisses the taillights as you drive out, you're lucky. But if the salesman would have stopped you and said, oh, just a minute, Mr. Buyer, I want to tell you something. Roll down the window, and suppose he leaned on the edge of the window and said, Mr. Prospect, or Mr. Client, you bought, I believe, the best automobile on the market. Otherwise, I wouldn't be selling it, and I drive one myself. I'm not going to guarantee you the car. I can't do that because it is a mechanical thing, and something could go wrong. But there are two things I want to guarantee you. Number one, I want to guarantee you me. As long as you drive this car, I'm going to be an invisible passenger in that front seat with you. I want to guarantee you my honesty and my integrity in my wishes that you have a safe, economical, and prideful ride in this car and that your family is always safe with your driving and the mechanical perfection of the car. In addition to that, I guarantee you everybody in my organization, from my dealer owner to the service manager to the janitor. I don't run this company, and I don't run the service department. But if you have any kind of a problem with that car, small or large, do not please call the service manager. Call me. And together, we'll go to the service manager. Now, I can't promise to change his policy. I can't promise it won't cost you anything. I can't promise that it will be handled exactly the way you want it. But I do promise that I'll go with you, and I'll do my best to see that you're happy about your automobile that you just bought from me. I guarantee you me, and I guarantee you every person in this dealership. If the last time you bought a car, a salesman had said that to you, would you recommend that dealership and that salesman to your friends? If you had a problem with the car, wouldn't you have a tendency to maybe not criticize or complain quite so heartily? If you went back to the salesman and he demonstrated, he backed up his guarantee, went with you to the serviceman, and did his best to make you happy, even though the service department didn't do anything of what you wanted them to do, wouldn't you still think kindly of the salesman? Now, if we're honest, and if we really want to serve, if we really want to cut down this consumer revolution, if we really want to build a business instead of just make sales, if we really want to convince people that our image of ourselves is the image they should have of us, then why don't we back up and tell them we guarantee them, us and our people and our service, and then back it up? We should be doing it anyway. The idea is to tell them first and then back it up. All of this has to do with orienting cybernetically the images in the minds of the people who are our suspects, our prospects, our buyers, and our clients. And if we really mean what we say when we represent a company and the product, there's no reason why we can't guarantee ourselves. If we really can't guarantee ourselves, then we're hypocrites, aren't we? So I want a good image of me. I will not be a hypocrite. I will either believe in my product and use it, or I won't sell it. If I do believe in it and I do sell it, then I want to guarantee the people who buy it, me and every other person associated with my company. That is word images. That is cybernetics. That is creating a favorable image in the mind of the people who buy from us. That makes us different than the average salesman who deals with them. And that will put money in our pocket. Here is a complete list of the positive and negative words which create favorable or unfavorable images in the minds of other people. The list will include the six that I've already given you, but this time without the explanation of it. The first word, positive word, is the subjective pronoun you, or the prospect's name. Would you print down YOU, the subjective personal pronoun you, put a dash and print name, the prospect's name. Remember, the use of that word stops his image making. The next word is safety, S-A-F-E-T-Y, safety. The next word is proven, P-R-O-V-E-N, proven. The next word is health, H-E-A-L-T-H. Now, careful of this one because of the government regulations on promising health. But you can validate a person improving his career, a person getting a better education, and a person helping make his marriage a happy and successful one based on the Health Institute of New York of the insurance industry if you'll get a copy of August 26 issue of U.S. News & World Report. It's there. The Health Institute of the insurance industry, New York City, came out with those three sayings. So health can be affected by a person getting a better education, improving his career, and helping make his marriage a happy and successful one. The next word is easy, E-A-S-Y. The next word is discovery, D-I-S-C-O-V-E-R-Y. The next word is money. A lot of people have a tendency to shy away from that one, but it creates a favorable image if used in the proper context. Money. The next is results, R-E-S-U-L-T-S. The next word is save, S-A-V-E. The person will spend more time to save what he has and less time in gaining more. He'll have more control over what he has. He wants to save. The next word is new, N-E-W. The next word is love, L-O-V-E. You remember how we applied that one a little earlier. The next word is guarantee, G-U-A-R-A-N-T-E-E. And I know you remember the use of that one, the application of it. The next word is right, R-I-G-H-T. Whenever you possibly can, tell the prospect he's right. He wants to be right. The next word is understand or understood. I understand, Mr. Prospect. You're giving empathy. You understand. You don't feel as he feels, but you understand how he feels. So tell him you understand if you do. The next word is truth. Used in your sales presentation, it is true. There is a truth. And as a result of it, he wants to rely on it. Next word is comfort, C-O-M-F-O-R-T, comfort. Everybody wants to be comfortable. The next word is proud or pride, applicable to a natural, justifiable pride. Next word is profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. The next word is deserve. I think we illustrated this one earlier. Deserve. D-E-S-E-R-V-E. The next word is happy. If you remember in the prospecting part of the cassette where I said in the close, we say, we'll be happy to drop by. Tell the man you're going to be happy to do something for him. Tell him he's going to be happy by doing something for himself. The word happy. The next word is trust. T-R-U-S-T. It's a favorable image word. The next word is value, V-A-L-U-E. I value you, he values you, he values it, value. And the next word, we have a two word, it's really 25. Fun is 24, and 25 is vital. It's vital that I do this. It's vital that you do that. It's a positive image word. Now let's go to the negative words, and may I remind you again that there's a possibility that these negative words are not quite as negative in your image, in your thinking, in your imagination. But remember again Murphy's Law. If there's a possibility it might create a negative image in the mind of that prospect, it might be wise to delete it from our own conversation. The first word is deal. I know that creates a negative image. Number two is cost, C-O-S-T. Now, even though I know it's going to cost me something, I don't want it to. So don't tell me it's going to cost me anything. Tell me it's an investment, I'm going to get a return, it's a deposit, but tell me anything except cost. Same way with pay, which is the next word. I don't want to pay anything, I'm already paying enough. So tell me a deposit, tell me an investment, but don't tell me I have to pay anything. Next one is contract. A substitute for that one is agreement, arrangement, understanding. A contract implies captivity, I'm a slave. An agreement involves bilateral rather than unilateral, it's a mutually beneficial arrangement. It's a printed down, written understanding of what we agree to, which is mutual, not contract, but agreement. The next word is try, T-R-Y. And anytime you say, I'm going to try to do something for a prospect, you say that to him, he ought to know that you probably won't, and if he ever says it to you, you might as well discount it. If you invite him somewhere and he says, I'll try to be there, forget him. The next word is sign, S-I-G-N. Now, there's been a lot of play and jokes about this in the sales profession. All I say is that if the prospect might resist and resent and rebel, have a negative image about signing anything, tell him he doesn't have to sign anything. Don't even use the word sign. Just say, okay, it, authorize it. Put your name here the way we've got it up here. In some fashion, get him to put his name on there by saying, just put your name here. That's better than sign. Next word is worry, W-O-R-R-Y. Now, sometimes salespeople think when you tell the prospect, you don't have to worry about this, but the very minute you say worry, why is he telling me this? You see, it's an over-defensive statement. And he says, maybe I should worry. Until you brought it up, Mr. Salesman, I wasn't worried, but now I'm going to look for something to worry about. I'm going to watch you pretty close. The next word is lose, L-O-S-E, or loss, which is the next word following it. Lose and loss. There's no way for you to lose. Well, if there isn't, why do you have to tell me? Show me. Lose and loss. The next word is hurt. You can't get hurt. I don't want to get hurt, but if you say I can't, maybe I will. Hurt, H-U-R-T. The next word is buy. When you buy this, what can you use instead of that? Well, own, ownership. The next word is death, D-E-A-T-H. Have you ever thought why it isn't called death insurance? It's life insurance, but why? Except for the recent advances, when insurance was first sold, it was strictly death insurance. You had to die for your widow to collect on it, but they never called it death insurance. They called it life insurance. Why? The image that it might make. Dead or death? Business is dead. Stop using it. Business is alive. It's vital. Okay, death. Next word is bad, B-A-D, bad. It's not a bad deal. What do you mean it's not a bad deal? If you don't think it's a bad deal, it must not be a good deal either. Bad. Next word is sell. Now, a lot of people shy away from this one, and I'm not sure. I have some mixed emotions about it. Depending upon how you use it, sell is not a good word. Sold, S-O-L-D. In words that you say, not a sold sign on a piece of property. That's a good image. You progressed. You made a sale. I'm talking about verbalizing these words, not printing them. Next word is price. Sometimes people play on this word and they say price is a good word. Maybe it is, but I have a hunch that every once in a while, price indicates it's a little high. It's a high price. The two words kind of go together. The next word is decision. Nobody wants to make a decision. Hopefully this doesn't take too much time. The next time you go to lunch with two or three other people, have a little fun with them. Ask them, as you look at the menu, what are you going to have for lunch? And the next guy's going to say, gee, I don't know, what are you going to have? The other guy's going to say, gee, I don't know, you order something. As a matter of fact, without being specific, without naming names, there were three of us having lunch today. And nobody wanted to make a decision. You see, what happens is, I don't want to order because if I order something and I don't like it, I got nobody to blame. But if you order and I order the same thing, it ain't my fault, it's yours. You ordered it first. So nobody wants to make a decision over such a minor thing as to what to eat, so why force the prospect to think about decisions during your presentation? Next word is hard, H-E-R-D, which means difficult, but everybody every once in a while says the word hard. You know, it's hard to do this, or that's a hard arrangement. It's a bad image word. Next is difficult, D-I-F-F-I-C-U-L-T. Nothing is difficult. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is difficult for him. Why say the word? Creates a negative image possibility in his mind. The next word is obligation. I don't want to be obligated for anything. As a matter of fact, a lot of times on the telephone, the people say, I don't want to take your time. I don't want to be obligated. Or when you cold canvas or when you walk in the office, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to be obligated. I'm not interested. Don't obligate me. So now you got to tell him you ain't obligated, and that creates another image. He says, well, I got to be obligated about something. You got to have some answer for it. Don't use the word. The next word is liable. No one wants to be liable for anything. That's why we carry automobile insurance. We don't want to be liable. We want some protection. Next word is liability. We don't want any liabilities. He doesn't either. So don't tell him anything about liable or liability. Now, some of you who might be listening to this tape and might be in the automobile insurance business is going to be kind of difficult for you to avoid that. But the word liability creates an adverse image, and you're going to have to spend a lot of time and a lot of words overcoming it. You can overcome it, but why create it? Next word is fail. You can't fail. Why bring it up? Next word is failure. Now, there are other words, but these are the 24 which we have had some field research on. If you didn't get any of the positive or negative image words, you got only the understanding of the use of the prospect's name. You have been more than returned on this investment in listening to this tape, because all it'll do is put money in your pocket, and it's fun to do. Thank you.
You have finished Side B and this entire program. In order to get the cassette ready to play Side A, depress the fast-forward button and hold it until all the tape is on the right-hand side of the cassette. You can then turn the cassette over and listen to Side A from the start.